This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Folks, it's hard to believe that we're doing this show 15 years later. Really. We started on the 28th of February, 2006. And we have a couple of special guests joining us. But when we started out, our first two guests were Jim Moseley Brad Steiger, both of whom are no longer here, so if we were to want to have them back, we would have to engage in some kind of weird paranormal or multidimensional practice. And since we've discussed every kind of subject on the Paracast, I suppose that's always possible. The people I will welcome are some longtime favorites of mine, and together I've known these people for a total of over 100 years. Yeah, I just heard groaning.
No, it was an agreement.
It sounded like you groaned. I've known this guy over 50 years. No way.
Yeah, longer than that.
That's right, Tim Beckley. You were maybe 13 or 14, and I was maybe 15 or 16 when we first crossed paths, as it were. And let's not forget my old friend Jerry Clark.
Yeah, we were all teenagers once, and that's when we met. That's when our paths crossed, courtesy of Ray Palmer.
Ray Palmer, yeah. It was because of Ray Palmer and Richard Shaver that we sit here today and reminisce.
Jerry, yeah, why don't you explain how it was that Ray Palmer somehow got us all introduced?
Well, I never met Ray Palmer. I saw him one time at a conference, but I didn't speak with him. But he was a big presence in those days, and he was a well-known and controversial editor of science fiction pulps. And then he and Curtis Fuller founded Fate magazine, published the first issue in the spring of 1948. And then Palmer and Fuller split, and Palmer moved up to Door County, Wisconsin. Portage County, I believe it was, yes, and started some of his own pulp magazines, which had small circulations but were influential because there were a lot of people following Palmer, whatever he did in publishing, because he had himself kind of a fan club. Anyway, he started Flying Saucers magazine, and there was a section in every issue called Saucer Club News. And in those days, there were a lot of UFO groups, and some of them were teenage groups. I don't think teenage groups exist anymore, but they were active and vital in those days. And the Saucer Club would write into Ray Palmer and explain who they were and what they did and what they published. And all of us were reading Saucer Club News, and we were just desperate for other people to talk flying saucers with, particularly people our age. So anyway, that's how we got in touch through Saucer Club News in Palmer's Flying Saucer magazine.
It's funny here, guys, that we made lifelong friends courtesy of Ray Palmer and the things that he did. And that was certainly something that was pretty much unique in the UFO field, that here was a central publication for a while available on national newsstands where young people can get connected. And we don't have anything like that. Of course, nowadays we have Facebook and Twitter. It's just not the same thing, partly because nowadays, forgetting the pandemic and the interactions, we communicate online. We don't actually see each other in person as real people anymore. We're pretending to be something else.
Here we sit talking on Skype and on the telephone. And in the old days, we used to collect our pennies and quarters and put together a conference call. Yeah, there used to be, what, seven or eight of us, I think, around the country, and we'd sit there and talk for, what, 5 minutes and get a phone bill for $50 or $50 or something like that, you know? And
Which was real money then.
Well, it surely was, yes. Now you do it for free, but it was fun. I mean, it was something to look forward to. In those days, there were a lot more people that were calling and exchanging information, but also people who were calling and creating all sorts of hoaxes over the telephone, pretending to be people that they weren't and so forth. I kind of look back at that and kind of grin. It did have its place in ufology. Now all the small town hoaxers are gone, and we only have the big ones.
In those days, too, because there were fewer outlets, you didn't have the competition. So, as I said, Ray Palmer's Flying Saucers magazine was unique by itself. Yeah. Nowadays, you have 1,000 different groups for this, million groups for that, and you have Twitter, and it's really difficult to get a large following or reach a cross-section of people because we're so compartmentalized.
Ray had a pretty big circulation for that magazine. He was putting out at one time about 35,000. And to think that he was selling it on the newsstand, I think, for 35 cents or something like that, which means he was probably taking in a dime a copy or something like that, you know. But I had his whole mailing list at one point after he sold it to me, I guess just before he passed away. And I got a tremendous response. It's the only mailing list that I ever got, like, 12% response to, you know, for selling books and magazines and things along that line. And then I even had my own UFO review, which was kind of the closest to that, because we were printing 30,000 copies and sending it out. We didn't have a Saucer Club News, but we did have a personals a column where you could hook up with other individuals. You know, we'd print little small photographs and things like that. So we were getting a pretty good response in those days. And then, you know, we would have the readers, like we did the UFO Universe magazine, which was read all over the world. But the actual number of people who would correspond or write in seemed to shrink, really. And you know what's happened today? I mean, there are people that are having reports and sightings and all. But like you said, Gene, it's all in a compartment. If I write about Men in Black, if you have a Men in Black experience, you write to me. If you have an airplane, you know, or you're a pilot or something and you have a sighting, you go to get in touch with the Center for UFO Studies or something. You know, so you have all these reports, maybe more than ever, but they're being spread out, so you have to wait around till it's your turn, sort of.
Well, I know that MUFON has tried or pretended to be this central clearinghouse, but of course it's been besieged by scandal in recent years, and its membership really isn't that big. What is it now, 4,000 people maybe, I'm guessing, around the world? That's nothing.
I don't think it's quite that large. I did try advertising in there recently, which I thought would be a good market for the type of literature that I have. And I get very little response, to be honest with you. There really is no place to advertise anymore. I mean, at one point, when I was, I'm still doing two or three books a month, and most of the sales come through Amazon. But at one point, you know what my biggest market was? The Weekly World News. I would place a full page ad in there, and I would get anywhere from 250 to 500 orders for whatever I was advertising. Today, if you advertise somewhere, you get 5 to 15 orders.
Well, everything's gone online. You know, when you were talking about hoaxes, of course, you know, we still have the little hoaxes, but they're all these stupid little hoaxes that go online and on YouTube, but that are, you know, somebody saw a UFO, you go and you check it out, and they use it just as attention getters to get the hits.
Yeah. Well, also, too, you know, I was thinking about that before. In the old days, we could check out a UFO sighting because they were all printed in newspapers, and there was the name of the witnesses and the town that they lived in. So if you wanted to do some research or you were interested in what they had seen, you could call them on the phone. But if it's on YouTube, it's all kind of anonymous. It's, you know, it's the photograph was taken by Hey Bud or something. I mean, you have even if it is legitimate, there's no real way of tracking it down without spending hours doing it, you know? I mean,
let's break it here. Guys, let's break it here. We've got more to come. We've got Tim Beckley, the one and the only.
Yay.
And Jerome Clark, unique. And Gene Steinberg, unique in his own mind. And J. Randall Murphy, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
That, ladies and gentlemen, was my requisite self-defacing, or self-effacing, but I'm also defacing myself. Modest comment about myself, because this way I don't pretend to be superior to anybody else. These days, Jerry Clark, are there any ways that you keep involved? Because you're not a big online person. So how do you find out what's going on in the field?
Yeah, I'm not really much involved in online ufology. I'm on several lists of people who are historically inclined. And so I just found my niche, you know, late in my career as a serious historian of the subject. And so I'm more likely to be involved with things that happened a long time ago than things that are going on now. That current ufology is something that I'm only passingly monitoring. But mostly I'm just interested in, what happened. I'm editing a book, not written by me, but by some other prominent ufologists on the history of the subject. And I try to keep up on 40 and stuff. That stuff is always interesting to me, but late in life I found things that I can do with it intellectually. And it kind of opens me up to get a better understanding of anomalies and how they work and what their significance is. So that's what I'm doing. Of all the things out there, the thing that continues to interest me the most is the airship era, which just fascinates me. And I'm convinced that the period in the late 19th century when people were seeing these mysterious dirigible-like objects is one of the strangest anomalies of them all. It's almost mind-bending. And I have this idea that if you could break your way into the secrets of the airships, you might have a tremendous perspective on a lot of other things that don't seem immediately connected to them.
Jerome, what do you think of Bosley's work that alludes to the possibility that there were actually airships being made by some sort of a secret society back in the day? What do you think of Walter? We had him on recently, and I find him a really interesting guest, but I'm not sure, you know, how seriously we should take it. What's your position as a historian on that?
Yeah, I don't take that sort of thing seriously at all. It's kind of a reductionist approach. The airships were very, very strange. And I'm not even sure that they're often seen as like early UFOs. But I'm not even sure they're related particularly to UFOs. I think that this is some anomaly that we're putting in the wrong category.
Can you elaborate on that a bit? I find this intriguing where, you're saying that the Fortean side of things has opened up some possibilities that you can look at the subject through a different sort of an intellectual lens. What do you mean by that?
Well, an old friend of mine, Bob Rickard in London, who founded Fortean Times and is still associated with it. Bob is a dear friend of many, many years. He reviewed my UFO encyclopedia, and he said that you read this book and you're a Fortean, you'll recognize that Clark is more of a Fortean than a ufologist. And being a Fortean, I didn't really understand this when I read Fort when I was 12 years old, but I've continued nonstop to think about what Fort was dealing with. One thing that as you grow older and become more intellectually mature and more widely read, not just in anomalies literature, but just in a lot of different things that interest me, you begin to realize that reality is really kind of nebulous, and it's fluid, and this is something that you encounter if you pay close enough attention to, even in your daily life. The things happen, they're not particularly interesting, they're just odd, but you immediately rationalize them away, even if on some level you understand that your rationalization isn't really working, it doesn't really, but since what happened to you was so inconsequential to your larger life, you don't spend a lot of time thinking about it, but it happens, and it's like everything from, precognitive dreams to all kinds of small things that really don't make sense.
Can you give us an example of one of your own experiences like that?
Well, I've written in one of my books about one of them that happened about 20 years ago. I was working on a book, and in those days I rented a little place where I did my writing, and then I would come home where I live with my wife, in the evenings. And in those days, 20 years ago, I had enough energy to write late into the evening. And so one night, about 10:30, it was a summer night, I came home and I parked the car in front of the house. And there was something sitting on the front steps. And I couldn't really see it because it was dark and the shadows were, you know, kind of covering much of it. But it looked like, you know, I first thought it was our dog, but our dog would never have been on the front steps because she had a way of wandering around. So we fenced in our backyard. So after, this is my escalation of hypotheses. I think, okay, well, that's not Misha, because that couldn't be Misha. But what is it? And it was large. It was large. It looked like a large quadruped. I thought, well, if I walk, it was later on I figured out it was 15 feet and between me and it. And so I walked toward this animal. I wasn't afraid of it. I was just puzzled. I thought, I've got to figure out what this is. If I walk fast enough, maybe I can get there before it runs away. So about it almost immediately began running away through the southwesterly direction through our front yard, and it disappeared in front of my eyes. And I never
got like you mean like so it didn't
it vanished.
Like yeah, not just going through like a hedge.
No,
or something,
not just going out of sight. I mean, running so you can't see it anymore. No,
okay.
It vanished.
All right.
But my own mindset just amazed me in retrospect that I thought, well, I wonder what kind of animal that is. I've got to figure that out. Instead of thinking, hey, this thing just disappeared right in front of my eyes.
That's so odd. You hear this from so many people. Yeah, go ahead. Continue.
Yeah, anyway, it happened exactly that way two more times that summer in a period of about 3 weeks, and the last time my wife was with me. And anyway, later on, when I finally would permit myself to accept that I had seen something extraordinary, I first of all had to think of my own strange mental reaction, and then I had to figure out, you know, what is this about? This is completely meaningless. This doesn't portend anything. It doesn't do anything. I don't know anything from it except about myself and my own unexpected, you know, irrational skepticism when encountering a genuine anomaly.
We have Jerome Clark and Tim Beckley with Gina Randall. This is our 15th anniversary episode. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The Food and Drug Administration has granted an emergency use authorization to Johnson & Johnson's one-shot COVID vaccine, adding another vaccine to the efforts to fight the coronavirus. The federal government expects to be able to distribute 4 million doses next week, though supplies will be limited for a time. Dr. Esther Chu is a professor of emergency medicine at the Oregon Health and Science University and tells CNN that the convenience of a one-dose vaccine is a big benefit.
So it doesn't need to be stored at these ultra-cold temperatures. It is a single dose. It's been such a challenge to get even a single dose to many people. Signing up for a second one, keeping track of that, getting transportation is just a huge barrier for many Americans. And then, of course, in harder-to-reach places, including rural America, it's just been a huge logistical challenge with the mRNA vaccine. So Johnson & Johnson provides a really important tool in our arsenal.
This is USA Radio News. President Biden is defending his decision to launch airstrikes in Syria as part of the country's right to self-defense, even as some in his own party question his authority to do so. Biden told Congress Saturday in a letter that he'd ordered the strikes to defend U.S. personnel and allies in the area in response to an attack on Erbil International Airport 2 weeks ago. Congressman Brad Sherman agrees with the president over the legality of his move. The California Democrat tells Fox News that the strikes were the appropriate response.
I think the vast majority of our caucus supports what President Biden did. First, as a legal matter, we did authorize the use of force in Iraq. I was there for that vote. Many were not. And that authorization allows us, of course, to protect our forces. When you under-respond to an attack, when you fail to respond, you invite another attack. When we failed to sanction Russia for what it did to our elections, we ended up, by under-responding, with them targeting our soldiers in Afghanistan and putting bounties on their heads.
This is USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
When we broke, Jerry Clark was telling us about a personal experience that is really, really fascinating. Jerry, let's hear more.
Well, what I did before I could really accept it, I had seen something that was not part of consensus reality. I spent an inordinate amount of time going through books on wildlife and then checking websites that dealt with the kinds of wild animals or even unusual domestic animals that I could likely encounter in a small town in Minnesota, and couldn't find anything. You know, and nothing looked like what I saw. But it was as if this thing, there was no question it was there, but you could never really get a good look at it.
It reminds me of, I would call it like a shadow creature almost. It's you hear this, people talk about shadow people and doing the same thing. Very similar, just you don't get a good look at them. They're dark, they're in the shadows. They move quickly, and then they just vanish out of sight. But this was more like some kind of an animal.
Yeah, this was like, I thought of it as a phantom quadruped was the way I would describe it. And then later on, when I got around to writing about it, I couldn't think of any other category to put it into than the, you know, the black dog tradition. So I thought, well, okay, I saw a black dog because my dad had encountered a black dog in 1924 in La Crosse, Wisconsin. He had no idea of this folk tradition. When he told me the story, I said, oh yeah, Dad, you saw black dog. And so that's how I decided finally to categorize that. But what you say is very interesting to me. You may well be right. Shadow entity, anyway.
maybe that's what the black dogs are, but they're just more materialized or visible or sharper or something. Maybe they're not entirely real either. Tim, how about you? Like, what do you make of this, and what kind of personal experiences have you had that fit into Jerome's?
Well, I've got a whole different ball game here. In fact, the subject that interests me probably more or as much as UFOs these days is my personal synchronicities. Now, I'm not just talking about thinking of somebody and they call the next day on the phone. I did a book, I think it's been out for a couple of years now. It's The Matrix Control System of Philip K. Dick and the Paranormal Synchronicities of Tim Beckley. This stuff is continuous and it is wild. Let me tell you a couple of incidents of this. Now, like you say, though, these synchronicities, even though they're wild and weird, and some people think that they actually may be some sort of synchronicity control board. There was a fellow by the name of John C. Lilly who wrote a book called The Eye of the Cyclone. He was the first individual who claimed that he was able to communicate with dolphins. Maybe you remember that. Also with the aliens while taking ketamine, which is a very powerful animal tranquilizer, which I was not under the influence of, I guarantee you this. So let me tell you a couple of these synchronicity stories. I was in San Francisco. In fact, I was speaking at the Congress of Scientific Ufologists, which we were all members of, and that particular year, I can't remember exactly what year it was, but Dale Reddick was in charge of the organizational meetings, the public affair, which I think attracted, it seemed to me it attracted a pretty good crowd from what I can remember, 400 or 500 people in a hotel. There was even a balcony. And I was, I think, speaking on Saturday night, probably. And, okay, so I was due to leave town on Sunday on a rather a late flight to Newark, like at maybe 5 or 6 o'clock, where normally a person would leave because of the time difference and all, maybe around a noon or something. So we had some time to kill. And since I had never been to San Francisco before, Dale and his wife, along with a couple of other individuals from the group, decided we should all have brunch together. Well, we picked this place at total random. None of us had ever been there before. Like I say, I had never even been in San Francisco, which is a town of roughly, I think, of about a million people live in and around San Francisco. Okay, so we sat down, and of course, it's Sunday and it's brunch. I want to have a Bloody Mary, and we're just chatting pretty much idly. I mean, we didn't have a particular conversation going.
San Francisco metro area's population is 4,729,000. Go ahead.
Oh, please. My goodness. Well, that even makes this more impressive. Okay. So we're sitting around just chatting, and I happen to mention, well, geez, you know, here I am in town, and I do know some people who have moved from New York City to the San Francisco Bay Area, and maybe I should have spent some time trying to contact them and inviting them to the conference. Now, one of the individuals that I mentioned was a gentleman by the name of Alan Vaughn. Alan Vaughn was a very recognizable psychic on the East Coast. In fact, he used to lecture at our New York School of Occult Arts and Sciences, and he was pretty prominent, and he, I think, worked maybe with Stanley Krippner and some of the people, and he had a pretty good hit record. Okay, so he had moved to San Francisco to become the editor of Psychic magazine. Now, in those days, there was a proliferation of occult publications on the newsstand. Besides Fate, there was Exploring the Unknown and Ray Palmer's Mystic. And then there was Eileen Garrett's Tomorrow. And then there was this big, glossy magazine called Psychic, which was more aimed at the serious parapsychologist than average Fate the reader, let's say. Okay, so I'm talking about Alan Vaughn. I should have maybe gotten in contact with him. 2 minutes later, The door to this restaurant that none of us had ever been in before swings open, and a gentleman walks in with a dog on a leash. And I look at him, and I say to myself, that looks like Alan Vaughn. So I motion the guy over, and he recognizes me, and he sits down, and we have a laugh about the fact that here he had never been in this restaurant either. He wanted to stop in and have a beer because it was a lunchtime and brunch time, and so he just picked his place at random and popped in, you know. And okay, so we have our little chat and we laugh about this, and I said, Alan, by the way, outside of working for Psychic Magazine, what are you doing these days? And he said, well, you know, I'm working on a book on synchronicity and coincidence, so I guess this will have to be in there. And sure enough, if you can find this little paperback, which sold for 50 cents, I think it was published by Popular Publications, I believe it's case number 37 in there, which he describes what I just did. Now, I have dozens and dozens and dozens of stories like that. One more, and then we'll go on to something else. I had been in Tucson, Arizona. I used to go there at least maybe once or twice a year. I got a lot of buddies there. That was kind of my UFO home away from home. There's a gentleman that lives down there by the name of Alan Benz. Alan Benz was the librarian for the Aerial Phenomena Research Organization, otherwise known as APRO, run by Jim and Coral Lorenzen. We all know about the organization. They were the first to take as seriously the humanoid reports, where NICAP, which was the other group at the time, was pretty much just into reports by pilots and astronomers and scientists and people of what they would consider high credibility.
Okay, Tim, so we're going to break in a moment, so we'll let you continue this story. But just to mention briefly, I've had one or two encounters with the Lorenzens. Jim Lorenzen was a pussycat. Carl Lorenzen, if you got on her bad side, even for reasons that had nothing to do with any reality or anything that would cause somebody to be upset, would become upset. Although, as I agree with you, that they would look into things like humanoid cases, whereas yep. NICAP didn't feel it was politically correct.
Yeah.
We're going to have more to come with Jerry, Gene, Randall, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Power grid failures and natural disasters. They happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the gold stocks boom in the U.S. markets. More stimulus and higher inflation could potentially drive gold prices to record highs in 2021. And with gold exploration stocks poised to skyrocket in the coming months, you have an opportunity to position your trades with red-hot gold exploration stock opportunities. Text the word GOLD to 48542. Get front row access to market intelligence when you text the word GOLD to 48542 and to set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode with your free subscription to the Gold Market Research Report. Text GOLD to 48542 and have this red hot intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the most promising gold exploration stocks, then text the word GOLD to 48542 and don't get left behind in 2021. Text GOLD to 48542.
This is Bede Merciless. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio, exactly according to my plan.
Jerome Clark, Tim Beckley, J. Randall Murphy, Gene Steinberg, 15th anniversary show. I'm talking to people here I've known together for over 100 years, and that's since yesterday. Tim Beckley, go ahead, please.
Okay. Oh, in fact, after I finish the story, I'll tell you a little funny incident. Okay, so I'm there, and I'm in Tucson. I'm interviewing Alan Benz, who's with APRO, and he's telling me how he was corresponding with the people from, I think it was Paramount Films, a company that was doing Close Encounters. And originally, they had gotten in touch with APRO, and I guess the Lorenzans didn't want to fool with it or didn't know who Steven Spielberg was. Maybe not too many people did at that time. So they gave the job to Alan Benz, the librarian, of sending over some material that might be useful in the making of the movie. Okay, so we spend a couple of hours discussing his background as librarian of APRO, and then we bid each other farewell. And I get into, I'm traveling with my friend Sharla, who is my photographer in Tucson. She's taken hundreds of pictures of me and is, you know, kind of a fan, and we're friends. And so we decide, without telling anybody, we are going to drive down to Sedona. Sedona, if your listeners don't know about it, and I'm sure that they do, is this kind of cliquish, artsy community up in the Red Rock Mountains. Very beautiful area, very scenic. It's got some places that people go. There's supposed to be four vortexes in town, which draw people, and they have UFO sightings, and they meditate, and they chant with the crystals, and so forth. Okay, so we go there without telling anybody, and our first stop in town is at a place called the Cafe. I can't even think of it at the moment, but it's this place, the Coffee Pot. I'm sorry, the Coffee Pot, where everybody stops to have a coffee and omelets. They have 103 kind of omelets on the menu. You have a wide variety there. So again, it's about brunch time on Sunday, and we're sitting there and we're chatting, just conversation about what's going on in Sedona and how it's supposed to attract UFO minded people and so forth. We finish our lunch and we go into the parking lot, and the cars are parked diagonally, you know, like catty, kind of catty corner, where sideways or whatever you call it, right? It's on parallel parking. We go to get into the car, and this vehicle that's right next to us is kind of sticking out a little bit further than it should be. And we happen to notice the license plate on the car. The license plate says APRO. Now, I'm not making this up. In fact, there is a photograph I've used of it many, many times in my book. It's in the Synchronicity book. There's no reason for that. Even if somebody knew that we were going to Sedona, which nobody knew, there's no reason for that car to be there. The parking lot was full. Even if it was some sort of hoax or a setup, they would have had to park on the other side of the lot. This was right next to us. And, you know, I asked, I did call Alan Benza later on, and I asked him, I said, is there anybody still around from the organization? He said, absolutely not. Is anyone in the family, the Lorenzen family, interested in the subject? Absolutely not. They didn't like it, the subject at all. I have 450 pages of this type of synchronicity in there. There is something going on. Philip K. Dick, of course, a very famous science fiction writer, he believed that we were living in a computer simulation, which is kind of weird because he didn't even own a computer. So how he would know that, I don't know. But he once gave a talk at a press conference in France. He was invited over to talk about his science fiction books. And he's giving this talk at a press conference, talking about how we might live in a computer simulation and so forth and so on. And the people looking in the audience are looking at him like he is absolutely a wild man that has gone out of his mind.
To be frank about it, some people thought Philip K. Dick was a wild man who was out of his mind. It's not an unusual impression.
He was one of the most creative geniuses. Science fiction people, as you all realize, hate UFOs. They think that anybody who believes in them is just off their sensibility.
Why is that? I was so surprised when I first encountered that. It's just like, what? You guys are so, you've got the imagination for it. We know how this stuff works. Science fiction becomes science fact. Why are you getting on my case?
Maybe it puts them out of business, because the stories in ufology are much more incredible and interesting than anything that Arthur C. Clarke or certainly Isaac Asimov could write about.
Have you seen the Adjustment Bureau? That was based on a story called The Adjustment Team by Philip K. Dick. Yeah, with Matt Damon, Emily Blunt.
Of course, Total Recall as well is a based on Blade Runner.
Well, this particular film just reminds me so much of what you're saying, because he plays the part of a congressman who discovers that that what appears to be chance events in his life are controlled by a mysterious, powerful group. And this kind of sort of alludes to your Matrix control system.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, really interesting stuff.
There's a couple of possibilities here. Either somebody is, perhaps we are living in a computer simulation. There are even some scientists and physicists now who think that that's not beyond the realm of a possibility. So if we are living in a computer simulation, it could be that somebody is controlling this, which I find hard to believe, because who has the time to spend with my crazy ass these seem to be random. They don't have any particular meaning, although you can have a laugh at them. Or it could be a computer that was set up here on Earth. John Keel talks about the Eighth Tower.
Don't get me wrong. I actually think the whole Matrix thing is actually really quite a possibility. When I chuckle like that, it's because I'm seeing the irony in what could very well be the reality of it. I heard you wanting to chime in there a minute ago, Jerome. Did you have something you wanted to add there?
Yeah, please call me Jerry, by the way.
Okay.
Because that's what everybody calls me. I'm not crazy about my formal first name, although it is on many books by now. Anyway, but
a good name, but I'll certainly do that. Okay, Jerry, go ahead.
Getting back to the science fiction readers and UFOs, I think there's an explanation for why there is this hostility toward UFOs and other anomalies by hardcore science fiction fans. And I think that it's kind of a holdover from the late 1940s. Now, science fiction is so much a part of the culture that we live in that we don't even think about this. But if you know the history of this field of science fiction, before about the 1960s, sometime maybe things had changed by the latter 1960s. But before then, science fiction was really a fringe pursuit. And it was a fringe literature. And it wasn't taken seriously. It had no respect. And people who read it were mostly, thought of as teenage boys. And nobody who wrote the science fiction really had any literary acclaim. It's just an object of this strange cult of people who read cheap pulp magazine.
Would that include like H.G. Wells, or are we going further?
This is the science. I'm talking about the pulp culture of science fiction, which began in the 1920s and burned out by the early 1950s. But it was like a pulp literature. You'd find it on a newsstand next to a pulp Western magazine, a pulp
and included Ray Palmer.
Yes, it included Ray Palmer, who was he was resented in many ways by the hardcore science fiction people who wanted to make the genre respectable. But Ray didn't care about that. Ray just kind of further damaged his reputation by publishing these pulpy space opera stories with bug-eyed monsters and things like that, and Richard Shaver.
We're going to break in a moment, but parenthetically, the kind of sci-fi we get today, like Star Trek in large part, descends from the space opera, certainly. And
absolutely.
So the influence is interesting. I want to hear more about what you have to say, Jerry and Gene and Tim and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.